The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Good morning, church. Good morning, God's Favorite House. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you this morning. With all that is happening in our world, there are no words sufficient to say thank you. Thank you that we are alive at all. Thank you that we are well enough to come to church. It's not like we don't have struggles or troubles, but your grace continues to help us. And thank you for your mercies that are new to us this morning. Thank you for God's Favorite House. Thank you for making this house your place of favor. Thank you for all that you continue to do in this house. Thank you for the God Will Do It Again service. Thank you for what you did a few weeks ago. Thank you for what you are doing at your worship centers all over the world. Thank you for your son, Apostle Femi Monei, and his family. We are grateful, Lord, for your grace upon him. Thank you, Lord, that you have continued to uphold him. Thank you, Lord, for the fruits of his ministry. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your great plans for all of us. And Lord, this morning we ask that you will make even clearer those plans to us. My Father, I ask specifically that for that person who came into church in person or who is joining online, who is going through a dark place, I ask that your light will shine through. For that person who is in a bind right now, Lord, I ask that you will make a way of escape, that they will truly have an encounter with you today in the mighty name of Jesus. Save the lost. And Lord, as we just sang to you, Lord, those of us whose lives are in shatters right now, Lord, we ask that you, the potter, will put us back together again. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Above all, we ask that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. And I bring a message titled this morning, The Way of Escape. The Way of what? Escape. Is that a timely message for someone? I think the president will agree. I read in the news a couple of days ago that some senators are escaping because of August 1. I don't necessarily know if it is true, but God is going to make a way of escape for someone today. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 14, verse 6. John 14, 6. And can we all read together? 1, 2, go. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Except through me. You know, life is full of trials, plenty of trials, temptations, tribulations. That's what life is about. Unfortunately, and I'm not knocking our fathers of faith, the gospel that has been popularized in this part of the world, I guess maybe because of our economic history and our underdevelopment, or rather developing world, has been one of, you know, I mean, I've heard people make altar calls that if you give your life to Jesus Christ, you have no more trouble again. And as a minister of the gospel, I said, that is a lie. That is a a used car salesman's pitch. That's not what Jesus Christ said. Life is full of plenty of trouble. Sometimes it's attacks. Whether you like it or not, I'm sure you know the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Until you have been a subject of attack, you will never understand the meaning of the scripture that says that the heart of man is what? Desperately wicked. You know, if you are not the victim, you cannot understand the extent to which people can go to destroy a fellow being just because they want something or they are jealous or whatever. Sometimes it's not attack. Sometimes it's self-inflicted. Sometimes we, go astray. Sometimes we take a road we shouldn't have taken. Sometimes we are careless. You know, Jesus Christ said to his disciples, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptations. Sometimes it's environmental. You know, just the fact that you live in Nigeria, the troubles you have to face are different from what you will face if you live in Accra or if you live in London or the U.S. or in South Africa. And sometimes when you japa to London, to all the places people are jackmaing to, the troubles you face there, a few years ago, I'm sure I've said that before, we were away for a couple of years in the U.S. For graduate business school and all of that. Kids were going to college. And the first month we got there, I would go to school. My wife would be at home, for a few months before she started working. And she would call me, sometimes in tears, and said, someone can go mad in this place. As in mad. So what do you mean mad? I didn't understand that because I was in school and I had plenty of people say, because this place goes dead silent. Not to talk of the fact that, the kids may go to school and by the time they come back, if you're not careful, they come and ask you, did God create Adam and Eve or Adam and Steve? Now, if you live in Lagos, those realities don't make any sense to you. A friend of mine who moved to some country outside Nigeria, I won't name, called me one day and said, he's also a minister of the gospel, and said, Shola, Pastor, I want to talk to you. And he called me. His son, who I think I may have named or something, or maybe I think they had moved abroad when he had him. I knew him from when he was in the cradle, had somehow gotten himself into, everything is technology-driven, but somehow one of the applications they use in school, and I'm telling these stories because I'm trying to connect with someone. Amen? require them to visit a particular site. But that site, on the face of it, gives you all kinds of free tools for education. But it is also a gateway to what they call the dark web. I don't know it, how to get there. But somehow the boy got in the dark web, got involved in LGBT conversations. His father sees this phone. He gets to school. Why were you late to school? My father sees my phone. Why did your father seize my phone? Because I identify with LGBT. Can you imagine the trauma? Is it safe to say that here? If I was an American, I would be careful. Can you imagine darkness? And so what did they do to the father? The police went and picked up the father. And he was talking to me because at that time he was about to be sentenced to a few months or years in prison or 20,000 currency because he had tried to stop his son from going deeper into the LGBT world. Life is full of all kinds. In John chapter 16, verse 33, John 16, 33, Jesus Christ said something that we don't often hear on the pulpit or at crusades. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have what? Overcome the world. Does anybody identify with what Jesus Christ is saying here? I know you're going to act like everything is good, but I know I have one friend here in this church who I am always celebrating anytime something new happens in his life, because I knew when he went through hell and high tower in this country. But God has changed his story. Tell your neighbor, God is going to change your stories. Jesus Christ said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Just when we think is over, when you think that the trial that you have gone through, you know, is over, another one crops up. You know, I always like to tell the story, particularly to singles who are getting married, who are very excited at their wedding, which is a good thing to be. But I said to them, you know, life is in stages. When we were in primary school, when you wanted to take the National Common Entrance, some of us took it, some of us dodged it, but we are here now. you thought that that was the end of the world. But then you took the exam, you passed. You went to secondary school. Then you finished 5 or 6 years, depending on how old you are, of secondary school. And they say you have to take GCE. You know, the almighty WAEC, they used to call it. I literally went crazy to pass GCE. And I mean that. I mean, like, I went delirious. Because I come from a family of teachers. And I was ill just before my finals. And they took me home from my college in the city where I lived, where my parents also lived. I was in boarding school. And my father said, put him beside me. And in the middle of the night, he woke me up and said, you know, how are you feeling? I said, I'm still having some fever. He said, you know, I'm number 6 out of 7 children. So I and all my older siblings had gone to the same school, award winners, and said, I just want to tell you that nobody has done GC in this family twice. That's all. I just want to tell you that I'm a teacher. I can't afford it. So I got the message. By that Saturday evening, I was back in school. It brought me home on Friday night. But I passed. Then you got into university. And you thought, oh, now I'm free. Then you saw the final exams. Then maybe you decided to take a master's like I did. And I was cracking under the pressure of submitting 20 papers for my master's. And I complained to my professor. And he said to me, that's why it's called master's. That is that difficult. And then maybe certainly, you finish all your education, you want to, then you get married. And then on the wedding day, you spent all your time buying beautiful gowns, renting a big hall, paying an events planner, and you thought, life cannot be better than this. All I just need is the ring. But then you get into the marriage, and then you find out that there are more tribulations, more exams. And then you thought, oh, once I just sleep with my wife or my husband, the babies are going to come. And then 1 year, 2 years, 10 years. I'm sure you have friends who have been trusting God for 20 years. And I pray that if you are here and you have been trusting God for a child, that this encounter with the Lord today will birth that baby in your womb in the name of Jesus. Say a better amen. At least for those who are trusted. Amen? Amen? But then life just goes on. Then you get a job. You get, you know, and it just keeps going on and on. But let's hear how Apostle Paul put it in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 39. Romans 8. Apostle Paul put it in a great way. Romans 8, 28 to 39. He says, and we know that, how many things? All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. He predestined us, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So moreover, whom he predestined, this he also called. Whom he called, this he also justified. And whom he justified, this he also glorified. In other words, there's nothing happening to you that God did not see ahead. There's nothing going on in your life that is a surprise to God. Amen? And he has already determined that it will end in glory for you. Do you believe that at all? The devil will try to tell you that this is going to end in shame. This is not going to happen. But weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Verse 31, he says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us how many things? All things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So you are not alone. Tell your neighbor, you are not alone. Someone's praying for you. He said, who shall separate us from this love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you can see that God, through Jesus Christ, has already rigged a way of escape for you. It doesn't matter how dark things look. God has already made a way for you. And today you will find the way. The light of God will shine and you will find that way in Jesus' name. See, so that's why Jesus Christ came to lead us. That's why he came and said, I am the way. I'm going to lead you to my Father. I said, no one comes to the Father. And yes, he was talking about leading us to the Father, ultimately in heaven, where there is fullness of joy and there are pleasures that last forevermore. But the question I want us to answer this morning is there a way here on earth out of all our troubles? Is there a way out of what I'm going through? Is there a way out of this wilderness, out of this desert, that may be an exam, an attack, a trial, whatever? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 tells us that there is a way. Tell your neighbor, there is a way. There is a way. And you know, one of the things that the devil is a master of is to tell us that there is no way. I received an invitation yesterday night from a lady who's going to be 60. She got married 2 years ago. I told her, as God gives us life, we shall be there alive. I mean, when you are 58, I was at the wedding. When you are 50, in fact, in the world we live in, when you are 50, when you are 40, in fact, it's so sad sometimes when you are just 30. 58. And it was not a cheap wedding. It was not a managed wedding. It wasn't an anyhow wedding. The devil tries everything possible to take our eyes off the way and say, this depth that you are in, you are going to finish. Anybody been there before? When I started my career in finance in the 90s, early 90s, and the CEO of mortgage bank, accomplished banker, ran into some trouble with his depositors. He couldn't pay them. The man took his Dane gun and shot himself. Many of you will not know that some of the top bankers today, those of us who are in town there, knew that they were also in those distressed banks. But today, somehow they stayed. I want to pray for someone here this morning who is in that place of despair and hopelessness, that the one who is the way will make a way for you. You know, I wish people would share their testimonies more of when they go through a really, really rough time and how God made a way for them. A few years ago, a young lady was on the phone in an Uber. And the story goes that the boyfriend broke up with her. Maybe that was the fifth boyfriend. Maybe that was the tenth. And she told the Uber to park on Third Mainland Bridge and she jumped into the river. Into the ocean. How? Well, I can understand how. Because the devil is going to be telling you, you see, it has not worked. It can never work. You are finished. This same marriage, this same marriage that I know people who wish they never got married to someone is the one that because you didn't get, you want to kill yourself. I'm not saying all marriages are like that too, but I'm just trying to say that don't think that anywhere is heaven apart from the real heaven. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is what? Huh? The devil will tell you your own problem is different. It's from your great father. This one is intractable. No solution. But the word of God says that what you are going through is common among men. He said, but someone is faithful. Who is that person? He said, God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to what? Bear it. Tell your neighbor, God will make a way for you. So in our anchor text, Jesus Christ said, I am that way of escape, I am. And so very quickly, I want to show you three hallmarks of that way. So that when the devil tries to tell you it's over, that there is no hope, you can smile and tell the devil to get out of sight. Because God has made a way. If you've traveled to Ibadan or traveled, done a road trip, in any decent place, they have markers on the road. Say, Third Mainland Bridge, they'll say 1 hour to Oroshoki. Depending on what's happening on the road that day, it can be 2 hours, There are markers, you're coming here, you see Oblenko, okay, I'm almost at GFH, I see Conservation Center. It's important to know the markers of the way of escape so that you will not fall to the deception of the devil. Amen? And so that you can also take the way. Because sometimes, Paul said, an effectual door of ministry has been opened to me, but there are many adversaries. Right? And when you see those adversaries, sometimes some people give up and say, no, there's no hope, right? So, hallmark number one. The way of escape is narrow. Is what? It's narrow. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, Matthew 7, 13 to 14, Jesus Christ said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. And there are many who go in by it. He said, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to where? Life. And there are few who find it. Whenever you find yourself in trouble of any kind, I want you to know from God's word, from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, that the way of escape will always be narrow. And what does that mean? You are in a tight spot. But they say this is the way out. But then you look at the way through there. If you watch movies about jailbreaks, The people can hardly believe that anybody can go through the toilet seat or anything like that. Narrow, the word narrow, the narrow quality of the way of escape means that that road cannot take a lot of trouble, a lot of people. It cannot take a lot of baggage. There are situations in your life where you can go with the crowd. But when you go through certain difficulties in your life, the kind that I have kind of tried to describe, there are some battles you have to fight on your own. Some prayers only you can pray. There are some of us who have never spent time praying for ourselves. When you go through these kind of seasons I'm talking about, and you don't sound like you know those seasons here. This is God's favorite house. But I know there's one person here that God sent me to who is going through stuff. And God will make a way for you. Yeah. There are some ungodly habits that cannot continue in the narrow way. There are some unforgiveness elements, some bitterness sources that you cannot carry if you want to make it through. There are people you must forgive. There are things that you need to let go. Our dear friend Job, who is the poster boy for tribulation, he lost all his children in one day. You know, the Bible is full of extremes so that you can know that if you can restore Job, then he will restore you. Can you imagine? His own wife, who gave birth to all those children, said to Job, "You are going to continue to serve this God, eh? The God who took you up and brought you down. Say, curse him and what? Die. End it. Commit suicide." His friends who are supposed to be with him mocked him. You know, many of us make a big deal about friends. Friends are good. They're good. But not all friends can go through the narrow way with you. There are certain friends that it is your status that makes them like, I'm sure you understand that. Job only got restored when he alone by himself, God isolated him. Read the whole of Job, you get it. God isolated him, asked him some very difficult jam questions. Asking, reminding him of his centrality in his life. That, why are you complaining? Were you there when I created you? Were you there when I created the sun and the moon? And then when God had him in that lonely place, he heard from God that the first thing to do is to pray for these your friends that have deserted you. And the Bible says in Job 42 that as soon as Job prayed for his friends, God restored him and made his latter day better than his former. You know, with God, your latter day is always better than the former. And I pray for someone who is looking back and saying, I've known better days. Don't worry, the future is still going to be greater. And I'm not giving you false hope. I'm telling you from the word of God that your tomorrow will be greater than today in Jesus' name. Number two, the road is difficult. The road, the way of escape is difficult. Pastor, you don't get it. I'm already in a difficult place. Yes. The way of escape. If it was easy to escape, nobody will be in any trouble anymore. Nobody. If it was easy to get out of the mess that you are in, you will have gotten out immediately. Matthew 7, 13 to 14 says the way to life is what? Difficult. Straight. Bumpy. Full of thorns. What does this mean for us practically? To escape from life's troubles, my brothers and sisters, there are some tough decisions you need to make. Some tough actions you need to take. There are some things, you know, the senior pastors call them restitution. there are some things that you took unlawfully that you need to give back. There are people that you did not offend that you need to say sorry to. Even when you feel that you are wronged. There is a length in prayer that you need to go that you have not gone before. You know, at a season of my life, I went through a really, I don't even want to call it bumpy. I think it was just a plateau. But God saw that it was going to be really, but it would, you know, plateau is bad enough because when you are in a plateau, you know, you just wake up and find out that, you know, life is moving on, you are on the same spot and things, you know, before you know it, you start regressing. And I thank God for having a pastor and also having, you know, a communion with God. And God said to me certain things, and I'm sure I've shared them here before. One of them was that you need to pray more. He said the prayer that got you here is different from the one that is going to take you there. He said you need to humble yourself more. I thought I was already humble. He said, no, you need to be humble. Such great counsel from God. There was another season of my life earlier. That one was not plateau. That one was bumpy. That one I was in such a bad place, so bad that I, you know, and some people may say that's not bad, but I went from being a manager in a bank to becoming a security guard, a cleaner, a factory guard, a factory attendant, and so on and so forth, standing on my feet for 12 hours. And when I, that's what led me to Jesus, by the way. But when God was going to bring me out of it, you know, I was living in London, by the way. And he said to me, you know, since you say you are mine now, they shouldn't arrest you for being an illegal immigrant, yeah? So you need to go home. When I told my friends, they said, go home to where? There's nothing at home. You sold everything when you were going. But I had heard from God. I came back from staying about a year in London without, I barely had a shirt on my back. I left, I mean, when I was leaving, I think I sold like two or three cars sequentially. I came back to nothing. Thank God I had a friend who let me stay in the apartment we used to stay together, which used to be my apartment. So I now became the this quarter. You know, it's a very interesting story because in that apartment, that was my apartment and my appliances, which I sold to him when I was going. And his girlfriend used to come and hang out, like my girlfriend, now my wife, you know. So when I came back and I was full of holy zeal to preach, one day I was preaching to her about Jesus and she shouted me down. She said, hey, don't tell me about Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you? But I couldn't talk. Interestingly, I introduced him to the girl. But by this time I was a squatter. And when you are a squatter, you have to respect yourself. But God said to me, go back home. And I came back home, and the story has been victorious since then. The difficulty on the way out of trouble is meant to build strength, to perfect us. You go to the gym. If it doesn't hurt, it's not making an impact on you. In James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, James 1, 2 to 4, James said, count it all joy. It's difficult. Joy over what? Over the fact that I can't pay my bills, or that the marriage is not coming, or I don't have a job. He said, count it all joy when you go through diverse trials. He said, because the trial of your faith works what? Patience. He said, let patience have its perfect work, so that after it has completed its work, you will be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. I pray for that person who's going through a really difficult season of your life right now. And that sounds like all of us in Nigeria. I pray that God will strengthen you through your difficult season in Jesus' name. Finally, the way of escape requires help from above. Because if you sit back and you think about narrow and difficult, you will know that every normal human being needs help from God. But unfortunately, we don't always realize that. And we prolong our wilderness period when we try to do it by ourselves. Like I always joke, we are used to this thing we used to say, I go manage am na so. And men are guiltiest of that. Men, maybe not in GFH, I see a lot of men here, but men, most churches have more women than men. Because a man can be going through the most difficult season of his life and he will still be pretending like everything is okay. Because they taught us, African men, that you should not show weakness. One of the poor things that we learned. Jesus Christ wept, right? Sooner than later, every one of us will get to a point when we realize that unless God helps us in a particular manner, we are finished. And I know there's someone here who is in that place right now. But the good news is that 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 15, 2 Chronicles 26, 15 tells us that there is something called marvelous help. The Bible talks about a man who did exploits for God. The Bible says that because he was marvelously helped. May I pray for someone here today that that thing called marvelous help, help from the most unexpected people, help from the most unexpected places, God will send to you this morning in Jesus' name. A lonely, difficult road that is supposed to lead to your destination can kill you unless God helps you. In Jonah chapter 1 verse 17, there's a very interesting story there, Jonah. The Bible says that Jonah, I told you about attacks, self-inflicted trouble. Jonah's own was self-inflicted, right? But long before he inflicted himself or he attracted the trouble to himself, God had prepared, the Bible says God prepared a big fish to swallow him. I don't know about you, but that means to me that God helped him. Jonah was in the belly of the whale. We call it whale. Bible says fish. For 3 days. Now, 3 days in my calculation is 72 hours. I did a little research and I found out that most fish digest what they eat between 20 to 63 hours. So how is it that Jonah was not digested with the whale? Because God had made a way of escape. There are some of us here today who are going through trouble, trials, and tribulations. I believe that God sent me to you today because he wants to tell you that I want to help you. There may be only one person, but I've been around long enough in doing this work for the Lord that I know that the clothes that people wear have nothing. The cars they drive have nothing to do with what they're going through. Jesus Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. Do you know that our Lord Jesus Christ himself was marvelously helped? According to Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, so we now know that a particular spirit helped Jesus Christ to come out of the grave. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That same spirit of God wants to help that person here today or online who is going through a narrow, difficult stretch of road. My encouragement to you as I begin to close is that you receive that spirit. that spirit of an overcomer. You know, the way Paul put it in Romans 8, he said, we are more than conquerors. There is a DNA that those who have Christ and who have his spirit have that those who don't have Christ do not have. Those who have Christ, those who have the spirit of God in them, know deep within that I will overcome. They know that I'm going through this tunnel, but this is not the end of my life. They know. They need to be reminded, of course, in the place of worship, in the place of the word, in the place of regular communion with God. But those people who do not have Jesus Christ, those who do not have the Spirit of God in them, they despair because they know they have no help anywhere. But I know that I have help somewhere. And that help is available for you today. And so as I close, I want to pray for those people who are here, or pray with you, not for, because trust me, no matter how highly placed you are, no matter how anointed you are, all of us have areas of our lives where we need help. But I want to pray with one person here today who is going through a narrow, dark, difficult place where there doesn't seem to be any hope at all. Maybe you are even at that point, that breaking point, where you believe that if God doesn't help me today, indeed I hear in my spirit, man, that there is someone who came to church today as a last resort and said, I'm just coming today, let me just hear. Maybe you even heard about the title of the message. I'm just coming here today. Maybe God can still help me. I want you to know that he can. And he will. So I want to pray for that person. And I'm not praying. All of us are going to pray together in a moment. But I want to pray for that person who is going through that season. But you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you have. But maybe you have drifted because of these same problems of life. You know, there are some people, like they say in my language, their life is just rocky. It's just been rocky since they were born. Rock, 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 rock. God wants to pour a measure of his spirit into you. You know, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave power to be the sons of God. And so if you don't mind, maybe you are doing great or you are not, I want us to please bow our heads for a moment. And I want you to thank God for the victories that he has commanded in your life in the past. I want you to thank him for those victories. It's a very simple prayer. I want you to lift up your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father. Lift up as in like, you know, say, Father, you are the help of the helpless. You are the way of escape. Make a way of escape for me today and send marvelous help my way. Go ahead, lift up your voice loud. If you still want to come to give your life to Jesus, you can come. You can still come. You can still come. It's not too late to come. And if you are online, I believe that the pastors online will have directed you what to do to make your decision. Father, make a way of escape for me. And send marvelous help to me. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. But, you know, this is God's favorite house. So, you know, the favor of God is here. But I'm talking to people here who are like Bartimaeus. You know, that day when I went to church and I heard a call like this, They knew me in that church. They thought I was born again. They thought I didn't need help. Because I used to go to church all the time. But I knew that I was about to be thrown out on the streets of London winter without a house. Bartimaeus knew that he had been blind and beggarly all his life. And then he heard that Jesus was passing. The Bible says that they tried to stop him from praying, from calling on Jesus Christ. He cried out the more. I'm going to ask you to pray now. I want you to lift up your voice loud and clear and say, Father, I need help. You are the help of the helpless. Help me, Lord. Send marvelous help to me. Make a way of escape for me. Go ahead, cry to the Almighty God. Cry to Him, cry to Him.
Send help, O God. Send help, O Lord. Marvelous help. Send, O God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, help, O God. Send help, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Mata yele bashale bahala kashende kete. Those of you in front, I want to lift up your voices and cry out. Cry out to God to help you. Maele balikori baha shanda hata. Mainahande basota libaha shande. Rekibo libaha shande basitade. Yendie bosie dikele basata. Maka leba shande bahata rebo. And so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus.